elders. I'm going to kind of begin with in Titus there, the first chapter. There's a couple of words that I forgot to look in to. Maybe it's the 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter. There's two words that have been brought up in this that I didn't deal with, but I think I will before we continue on. The first word is in Titus, the first chapter, in the seventh verse, and then also in Timothy, 1 Timothy, the third chapter, the first verse and the second verse. There is some things, two words here that I want to look at that I think I failed in mentioning, or it'll go along with what we're doing with qualifications. In the first chapter, or first verse of that third chapter, it says it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires. So we think of it as an office, but it's also a work. It's something that is a continual thing. It's not something that once a man is appointed to that position, it's over with. He just kind of manages things. But no, it's a continual work. He continues to do the things that are required of him in his duties as an elder. So I wanted to make sure that was understood, that it's a work. It's just not something given to you. But it's a work. It's a thing that's going to be continued. You're not going to just stop. And then this word here I think is very important. And it's what type of word is it in our English language? What would you category it as?
Requirement.
Pardon me? Requirement. A requirement, right. Okay, is it a verb or a noun or an adjective? Or you failed that class? Well, you should have went to Thorntown then. You would have passed it. It's an adjective. Okay. Pardon me? Verb, I thought somebody said how much. Yeah, how much. Right, exactly. Okay. But we think of it as an adjective, and it's, so what is it an adjective of? Of a noun, but what's the noun? Okay, yeah. It is talking about the elder. The man that is, no, it's not talking about the elder, it's talking about a man that aspires to be an elder. So these are things he must be. And when you think of must, he has already attained to those things. It's not a work in progress. He don't start out as and then work his way up to meet all his qualifications. He meets those qualifications before he is appointed as an elder. So that's things we need to remember. It's something that this man has already aspired to. It's not that we take a man that has some of the qualifications, but not quite all of them yet. No, it's a man that has attained to all of them. So it's a command that he must. Then he goes on and starts talking about what those qualifications are. So I thought, first of all, before we got started, we needed to put those two in perspective, what they're talking about. So we understand, even as you men that are aspiring to be an elder in a few days, a few years, a few months, whatever it may be. So it's something that you have to already attain to, and that you consider as a work that you're going to be doing, not a office just appointed to you. Okay, now I want to get into those qualifications, but before we start that, I always keep going back in my mind to Brother Don McCarty. He done a lesson years ago on rules of interpretation. And I don't know if anybody remember that, but I think he done it twice. It was over in the other building. But he done a great job on it. And then I also found in a book that I've read a couple times, and maybe some of you have read, The Christian System by Alexander Campbell. I don't know if any of you have read it or not, but it talks about He gives, and I taught a class years ago. I don't know if any of you remember. Rachel was in there. Jeff was there. Shelley. I don't know if Gene was in the family yet, but it was a class that we taught over here, and it's on rules of interpretation. So I want to kind of give you a couple that Campbell, or his list of interpretation, before we get started, so we kind of have it vivid in our mind how we're going to interpret the scriptures, and which we should already have that in our mind. And he lists like seven of them. I'm just going to go through a few of them that's going to pertain to what we, because he gets into some language like trope and things like tropical or topical, things like that. So then if I get into that, I'll have to explain what a trope is and go forth from there. So we'll not get into that. I'll let Roberta let you guys know what a trope is and everything. So. She failed that class too? Okay. Okay. First of all, he starts about his rule one. He says, opening any book in the sacred scriptures, and we all know this, consider first the historical circumstances of the book, the order, the title, the author, the date, the place, the occasion of it. So we have to consider what we're looking at. First of all, if you're looking at Timothy and Titus, when was this written and to whom it's written to? It was written to Titus, it was written to Timothy. And when was it written? We find out it's in the early stages of the church, 50, 60 AD in that neighborhood. And then what was the circumstances of this book, of these books? Why was he writing to Timothy and why was he writing to Titus? Well, Titus, he said, I'm writing this to set, so you can set in order things that need to be set here in Crete. I've led you there to do those things, to set everything in order. And then Timothy writes, as you read the book of Timothy, you understand what circumstances. He was a preacher, he was an evangelist. This is what the work of the evangelist is and what he is to do. And then and it talks about the place and an occasion of what you're talking about. Then the second one he talks about is, he said, examining the context of any book as respects precepts, promises, exhortations, observe who it is that speaks and under what dispensation he officiates. So we go on, we know this dispensation. This is the Christian dispensation. It's the last dispensation that has been delivered, is that all revelation has been given. And then the third rule, he says, to understand what is commanded, promised, taught, the same principles, in other words, context. What's the context talking about? Who's it referring to? Who's it talking about? And what is it? And as you talk about, he says, also to use the same laws of interpretation which are applied to common language of other books. So as you would interpret other books, you interpret the Bible the same way. You give those stages, those rules. Then the fourth one, which would do mainly with context, he said, when you come, and this is where I always like ascertain, when you come to ascertain the meaning of a word, in other words, come to the understanding of what a word means, you use the context. If it has several meanings, use the context in which it's being used to define the word. So that's as far as I'm going to go with it, because he goes a little bit further in tropical language, and then judge the nature of the trope and its kind from the point of resemblance. So that gets into a little deeper. And then he also talks about types, symbols, and things like that, how to interpret those. But what we need is to know who he's writing to. Okay, we've come to that conclusion. Why is he writing? Well, he's writing in these verses here the qualifications of a man that has aspired to be an elder. He's not an elder yet, but he's aspired to do this. So these are the qualifications that he needs to meet to become an elder. let me get my notes out here. I brought 30 pounds of books and notes today. So Stace carried them in for me, and she said, my goodness, wow. I said, well, I got a bunch of notes and stuff, but I probably won't get through half of it, but that's okay. Going to divide this qualifications up into six categories. The first one is, or six divisions, whatever you call it, experience. The second one, reputation. The third one, family relations. The fourth one, character. The fifth one, habits. And the sixth one, ability to teach. So we're going to go through those, and as we go through these qualifications for each one of those divisions, it talks about each one of those. And we can kind of, gives us a little easier way to understand instead of just going straight through them. We're going to go through them in different divisions to help us. Okay, the first one we're going to deal with, like I said, is experience. So if you think of experience, what is experience?
Not a novice.
Not a novice, exactly. So that would probably be one of the qualifications, wouldn't it? Not a novice, or not one that's a new convert. So as we think about experience, one that's been through all these things that he's been, the qualification, he's been through all these things and has come out as one that is able to fulfill those, or has fulfilled those. Let's go to back again to our book of Timothy, there in the third chapter, and down in verse 6. And this is, Rich said, not a novice. And the King James and the New American Standard says that, and not a new convert, so he will not become conceited and fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. Okay, so if he's a new convert, what may happen to him?
Led
astray. What else could happen to him?
Get a big head.
That's probably the biggest one right there. And so would that be snares of the devil?
Blimey.
Yeah, could very well be. Pardon me?
Kind of like pride. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Pride, exactly. And one that thinks, well, I've been given this position, so I'm up here. So I don't have to adhere to nobody. I don't have to adhere to Scripture. I don't have to adhere to God. I'm being appointed this position. So, and that's not what he's teaching. He's saying one that is not a novice, not one that's been experienced in the Scriptures, experienced in the teaching, and as we go further, experienced in all these other qualifications that are implied to him. And then another thing, as an experience, over in John, the 13th chapter, anybody remember what Jesus done over in the 13th chapter of John? Well, Peter told him, he said, you're not going to wash my feet, but you're going to wash my whole body. So what did Jesus do? He got down on his knees and took a basin of water and a towel and washed the disciples' feet. Was he doing this because they were dirty, or was there a reason behind it? Right. Yeah. So, but what did it show Christ was like? What did it show Christ was?
Humble,
a servant. He came to do what?
Serve.
Exactly. So that's, and then an elder is to imitate that. Imitate Christ. Mm-hmm. Imitate Paul as Paul imitated Christ. So he is to be a servant. So he is to serve his flock. Physically or spiritually? Yeah, both. Yeah, I believe so. Both. Yeah, he's to do that. And then also in Luke, the 22nd chapter, what was the apostles arguing over? Or maybe not arguing, disputing with each other over?
Greatest maybe, huh?
Yeah, the greatest. And what did Christ say? Who was going to be the greatest?
The child.
Yeah. But what was the response that Christ had to the apostles? Well, let's go turn over there. That way get fresh in your memory. The 26th chapter. Of Luke, or not 26, 22nd chapter, I'm sorry. In the 26th verse. There we go, 22, 26. Oh, got the wrong, I'm in chapter 23, I need one more chapter over, there we go. Okay, there, and well, that's not the verse I wanted. 26, oh, yeah, okay. In verse 24, it begins in 22nd chapter. It says, and there arose a dispute among them to which of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, the king of Gentiles lorded over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you, but the one who is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. For you are those who stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. So who is the greatest?
The one who serves.
The one who serves. So he's saying, it ain't like it is out in the open world where You have lords over people, but you're going, if you're the greatest is going to be considered the one that was served. That's going to be the greatest. So the same way with an elder, a man that aspires to be an elder, that's going to be one of his qualifications there, that he's going to be able to serve. And when you think of that, serve, he's going to gain the respect of the congregation, or already has gained the respect of the congregation that he is aspiring to be an elder at. Okay. Is there anything over that you want to ask about? Any questions over being experienced? Okay. We'll go on to the next one, and that's the reputation. What does the Bible say about that reputation? Okay, exactly. Okay, when you think of people in the world, what kind of reputation do people look to?
Honesty.
What else? What do you look, as you look, and I don't like to use this as an example, but it's kind of there. As you're going to vote for a president or a senator or a representative, what do you look for in them? Honesty is the first thing.
Loyalty.
Practice what they preach. And that is a big one there.
Ethical.
Exactly. That's a real good one. That's what you look forward to, look to. So he said, you must have a good repute or a good reputation from those that are outside. So is that something that you have gained over a few months?
Over years.
And probably 10, 20, 30 years. And is that a reputation that you have from your neighbors? Yeah? From people that you work with? So should the congregation that is wanting to appoint elders, should they check the background of the elder and the outside world? And why should they? I know we want to know it, but why? What could happen if we don't check that background?
Someone's not qualified.
Pardon me? Yeah, you get somebody that's not qualified, but what may come into the church?
Error.
Exactly. Somebody that doesn't have a good reputation, but has a good reputation with the church, but has a terrible one in the world. So what's that kind of telling you about that man?
They're a Sunday morning Christian.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Because what should be noted of that man in the outside world as we talk about those four different things? It's something he has done throughout the years. It's not something he's just started because he wants to become an elder in a congregation of a church. So he wants to make sure that everybody in the world likes him, so he's going to smooth everything over. But no, it's a quality or it's a character that has been carried out throughout his lifetime. So does that mean he's a young man? Probably 25, 30 years old. No, I wouldn't think so. Because is that enough? No, I don't think that's enough to be around for a good reputation outside the world. And another thing it talks about, what was, and we can kind of use this as an example, how was Cornelius noted from outside the world?
A good man.
Yeah, a good man. Good, honest man. So that was something that we can kind of look at. That's kind of an example of the way a man is aspiring to be an elder has that kind of a reputation from the outside world and within the church.
I guess we would say he has to be a leader.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He has to gain the respect of the people outside because of his character, because of his words, and because of his actions. But he also has those within the church. Before he even becomes an elder, he's already gained the respect of the congregation. Okay, along with that reputation, where would you not see a man of good repute being? Where would you not see a man of good reputation being found at?
Tavern.
Well, tavern, yeah.
Brothel,
yeah. Yeah. That or a student at Purdue, one of the two. But this has to be something that, if you've seen a man of the congregation, now any one of us men, come out of a bar in the middle of the day or a liquor store, what would you think of him? Yeah. Would you first, as a Christian, consider why he was there? Exactly. That's exactly. Don't jump to a conclusion. No. No, because nowadays, every restaurant serves alcohol. So, you know, but you still want to, okay, that's not a good place. Don't, if you're wanting to be an elder, don't put yourself in those positions or those places. Yeah, because that comes with experience. What's people going to think of you? And there's several things you can think of that we take as ordinary. What about a man on Facebook, say Facebook, which I don't know how you use it, but post things that are inappropriate.
You got an evil mind.
That, exactly. And what about a man that posts, or not posts, but likes something that's not?
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly, same thing. So a man needs to be understand and have the experience knowing that my reputation is going to carry forward. People are going to see me as a Christian or are going to see me as a hypocrite. And same way, say at work, if someone comes up to you and asks you, you know what, what's wrong with you? I don't ever hear you swearing. That's something notable, right? But that's something that's been noticed. Another thing, and Gerald and I have talked about this, a man that is asked to work on a Sunday, but I mean, you don't have to. He can if he wants to. It's not a job. He's not going to lose his job if he doesn't work. So what if this man says, well, I go to church on Sunday morning, I'd rather not work. What's that going to do to most people? They're going to say, okay, that's fine. We respect that. Because you've been honest with us. This is the reason I don't want to work Sunday. I mean, if I have to, I will. But if I don't, I'd just sooner not. They're going to give you respect because of that. And also, and this may step on Gene and Trace's toes and some other people's toes and maybe mine. What kind of movies do we watch? Are we set, is a man, as an elder, setting, and maybe Jeff's toes too because he likes movies too, but going to movies that are inappropriate for a Christian to be at. Nowadays, people probably wouldn't even notice it. But the elder, the man that aspires to be an elder, he's got to be considered of what's going to be thought of me in doing these things. Whether they're right or wrong, but what's people going to think of. We got to first, I mean, going and seeing different movies, there's probably nothing wrong with it. But what's a man or the world going to think of you? You always got to be inconsiderate. What's the world? Yes, I shouldn't care what everybody else thinks, but the New Testament tells me I need to care what everybody else thinks. So that's, as an elder, you've got to think of those things. And I know I probably just scared everybody off and wanting to be an elder now. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to leave it as inappropriate for a Christian too. So you draw your own conclusion.
Well, that's part of the problem of saying that, though. They're going to draw their own conclusion.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have to, you as a man aspiring to be an elder, what's people going to think about me? That's what you got to think about. And like I said, movies that are rated R, some of them are not. No, I don't see nothing wrong with watching them because, you know, but then there's also some that are inappropriate. But I'm not going to send name off which ones, but all my main point is, what's people going to think of the things that I do? The example that I set, what kind of example am I setting? And that's on anything we do. Even on a, and I've been guilty of this, coaching baseball. young kids. You get mad because they're losing, because they're not playing the way they should. And I've done this, throw the baseball across the dugout, throw the bat across the dugout. But it, what kind of example are you setting? What's people going to think of you?
You're still a man.
Yeah. You're going to make mistakes, but you got to keep the good reputation. You got to keep in mind. What am I doing?
That's true.
Yeah. You're still going to fail. You're still going to fail. Yeah. You're still going to fail. You're still going to be angry. You're still going to say things you should not say. But you also got to keep in mind. No, I shouldn't do it. You should repent of those things that you do. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But I guess my main point is, we all, a man that is aspiring to be an elder, he's got to remember an example he's setting out in the world, an example he's setting in the church. Go ahead.
Avoid the very appearance of evil.
Yeah, I think that's where it is. Yeah, you're going to fail, you're going to sin. You can repent of it, but you also have to remember, hey, I need to try not to do those things after you've done them. Then you repent of them.
Self-control.
There you go. That's going to be one of the qualifications. It's a self-control.
That appearance can't be superficial.
There you go. It has to be deep. It has to be your total makeup. And if somebody sees you, they say, wow. But then you apologize for it and make amends of it, then people forget that. Because they know how your past life was, or your past, in the past, how you've been. That you've not always been that way. Sometimes you fly off the handle. Or go to places where you think, after you got there, man, I shouldn't be here. And then also there's been cases of elders counseling women one-on-one. That's probably not a good thing for you to do. You probably should have both elders or all three elders or whoever.
Or your wife.
Somebody along with you, because that's not always a good situation. I know, and this probably may not make a whole lot of sense to some of you, but I was doing a job a long time ago, and I pulled up, and when it was going in the house, and there was a 13-year-old, 14-year-old girl there, and her mom texted me or called me and said, hey, it's okay, you can go in and do the work. I said, I'm not going to do that. I mean, it probably been fine, but that, to me, that's not a good place to put your position to put yourself into. But you understand when it comes to talk about reputation, you always got to be considerate or consider your actions. Are you going, like Steve said, you're going to fail, yeah. But what is your history? What is your character? And that's what's going to gain your respect from the outside world. You're going to be above reproach as far as they're concerned. And in the church, you're going to be above reproach in their mind because of your character, because of your habits, which we'll get to that a little bit later. Any more comments? Yeah, go ahead.
I think something that Jeff said deserves repeating, that we are very, very careful not to say things that assumptions based on what we see something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The Pharisees made assumptions about Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think that if any of us are dying with prostitutes, a lot of people would make assumptions. But it's a very fine line we have to walk, and holding a lot of these examples as the standard. The standard just says a good reputation.
Right.
And
however right.
That's determined, that's how it is. But if we're going to say, watched a movie or a TV show that has nudity in it, then you're disqualified.
Yeah.
Or if you walk out of the bar ever, you're disqualified.
Right.
I don't think those kinds of things are things we can hold as commands.
No.
We just need to be very careful where we put the line here. And it needs to be, I don't think there's a place for a I don't think there's a place for the line to be or a thickness to that line. It's not something that we can just nail down on one spot and say, if you do this, you're disqualified, period.
Right.
There are a few things, obviously, but
yeah.
There are a lot of gray areas in truthfulness and loyalty. They may not care if they've ever seen you get drunk.
Yeah. No.
They may not care if they've ever seen you walk out of the bar or things like that. So there's something that we need to be careful with.
Well, and like you both said, you go to that person and ask them, you know, don't assume, okay, they're automatically doing those things. And the main point is your reputation. What is people think of you? They regard you and respect you for what the life that you're living. That's the main thing. That's when he talks about your good reputation, of good report, above reproach, without blame. And that, does that mean you never do anything wrong? No. No. Go ahead.
I think what Mom said, as far as doing what you can to avoid the appearance of wrongdoing.
Right.
You need to pack your gun. You can go into Stop and Rob, or you can go into a liquor store. Both of them sell gum. Which one should you choose? Okay, you're just getting gum.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything wrong, but there's the appearance. Okay, so there's choices you can make to avoid it. And I work with younger officials all the time, and I tell them, I said, you need to make sure you avoid the very appearance of doing something wrong. And nowadays, accusation is as good as guilt.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you said, don't go into a house with, you know, a young lady in there. Accusation, you're guilty.
You're guilty, yeah. And I think another point that kind of goes along with this, which Christians are held to a higher standard. Why?
Be ye holy, for I'm holy, the Bible says.
Right.
Without holiness, no man shall see God.
Exactly.
So we have to work to that end.
Yep, exactly. But as you think of the world, if they know you're a church, just say a church goer, they expect more out of you than they do the fellow guy next door to them.
Keep looking, don't they?
Yeah, they keep looking and try to find things.
And some of them, our actions change as society changes. Years ago, 34 years ago, when I started teaching, I thought nothing of having a male student in my office with the door shut. That was just it was privacy, and we were always supposed to be private students and maintain knowledge, yeah. Through the years, my door is now open when I have male students. And there's sometimes I even leave it open for female students. So the same action years ago might not work today.
Right. And I think that's kind of what Gene was saying, that it's going to change as the years, as society demoralizes, I guess you would call it.
Well, just like you were talking about before you go out to eat, you know, they all serve liquor.
Yeah.
Years ago, the only time you got liquor, you went to a liquor store and bought it. Mm-hmm. Someplace was selling that over.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that continued. And I can remember back in the 80s, when we was a church in Florida, there was people that would condemn you for drinking Coke because of the caffeine.
Well, Coke used to have narcotics.
Yeah. Used to have what? Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. But that wasn't their reason. Their reason was because of caffeine. Or that's what they told us. Now, I remember, what you say, used to have the cocaine and stuff in it. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. That might have been better for us anyway.
We'd probably be a lot better off.
But I don't want to go any further, because the last 2 weeks I went over every week. So I don't want to go over. But as you think of the experience, it's one that's not a novice, one that's not a new convert. When you think of reputation, it's reputation within the congregation and without the congregation. That's what he has to have aspired to, or not aspired to, but has experienced done, and done those things. And as we get on into the family, as we get into the habits, there is habits that he done in the past, but he no longer is found with those habits, whatever it may be.
He's confessed to those.
Yep, exactly. He's repented of those things.
Just like when you first became a Christian, what was you before?
Yep.
You were just like the world.
Yep. Well, and if you think about most of the time they remember, people out in the world remember how you were.
Yeah.
Now, if you've changed, they can't understand, why has he changed? Why don't you do things you used to do? Why don't you go with us? I know, like Jeff, when you go to them tournaments and stuff, and you're overnight, where do they want to go after the tournament? Well, yeah, you don't do that.
People remember the good things you do when you threw the baseball bat.
That's right, exactly. But it always bothered me because my dad always told me, he said, you do work for people, they remember what you did wrong. They don't remember all the good jobs. They remember that one bad job. So that always has bothered me.
So does coaches.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. One bad call. Yeah, well, I'm not going to go with that one. I'll let that one ride. What did you say? They keep it back in the memory bank? Okay, we'll stop there today. Unless there's any more questions or comments on reputation or experience. If not, next week we'll start into family relations, which this one here will probably take the whole class. Because there's some things in here that are agreeable on one side, but not agreeable on the other side. So we have to discuss those, and hopefully we can come to a conclusion as a congregation. So that's it then.